This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Boy, I'll tell you, the way he said the Paracast, Randall is really positive. And what he's saying here is, in essence, Morgan, you, Jeff, you give out good vibes. That's how we said back in the 60s. Good vibes. And I go with that. That's what I think, too.
I'm a believer in people. I really am. And I'm a fan of the species called humans. We're flawed. We have our problems, for sure. At the end of the day, I feel like when given the opportunity, people will do the right and kind thing if given the chance. And
okay. Maybe I need to make that trek up the mountain.
Maybe. No, but at the same time,
I've grown old and cynical, and I'm a realist, and I look at the world and I go, no, you know what? Good doesn't always win.
It doesn't. But at the same time, so here's a fundamental question. Do you believe people are always doing their best with what they have to work with?
No, not at all. I think that our potential is often not recognized. And I think that maybe this is one of the things that you discovered. And I think that the people like yourself and the people who think about these, what you call the bigger issues, and can put them into a perspective where they can relay them to other people in the world and are in a position to do that, they have a responsibility to do that and to get out and do that. And not only that, they're driven to do that. And it makes them, in my view, important in the world.
Yeah, no, thank you. My point about that is that I know, like, the drug addict who's literally, like, passing out behind a dumpster, just a total junkie. That person might be doing the best with what they have to work with. It's all they know. It's not good by yours or my standard. And so how can we show that person a better way? You know, how can we give them the tools to realize that you can do better than this and help them? But realizing that the decisions they make, even if they're robbing you at the time, that's the best they can do right now, right? Like, I'm robbing you to get a fix. How can we find the compassion to say, like, this is the best you have right now, and what can I do to show you that there's maybe a better way?
That reminds me of here in Calgary. I live in a fairly decent neighborhood here in Calgary called Lakeview, but it's near one of the First Nations lands, what they used to call, you know, a reserve. So a lot of poor First Nations people, and I'm a Nighthawk, okay? So some cars have been broken into around here over the years. It's pretty good. It's fairly low crime, but it happens once in a while. So I just leave my car open all the time, and I just take the stuff out, right? So because I'd sooner have them go through it and find nothing than bust a window to get in and find nothing. And I'm working away on my computer at about 3:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden I hear some rustling around outside the window, and I look, and my interior light is on in my car. So I kind of go downstairs, open the door, and I go out, and I look in the driver's side window, and on the other side there's a young native, and he's rustling through my car. So I open the door, and I say, "Hey, you know, can I help you find something?" He just looks at me and then looks again, like he can't believe what he's seeing. He has this flight reaction, you know, it's either the fight or flight reaction. So he gets up and he starts to run away, and I go, "Hey, no, you know, just take it easy. Just know, okay, that I don't keep stuff in the car." He says, please don't call the police, he says. I said, "Don't worry, I'm not going to call the police or anything like that. Just tell your friends and your buddies, I'm not rich, I don't have much stuff, my TV's old, it weighs 100,000 pounds, you can't walk off, nothing's in my car, you know, I'm glad you didn't wreck anything, and really try to, you know, not go out and break other people into other people's cars and break stuff, okay? Just..."
I got to stop you, Randall. Wait, you have to answer that question I asked you before differently. You do think people are trying their best. You gave that kid the benefit of a lot of doubts. You really did, right?
They might be trying their best, but I thought you meant like doing their best. Like, are they reaching their potential?
No, none of us are reaching our potential. None of us are doing our best. Yeah. You can't keep that up all the time. On a good day, if I do my best for like 10 solid minutes in a day, that's a good day.
Yeah.
Right? We could all
do that. Hey, that's pretty good. 10 minutes. I thought 3 minutes is the standard.
Wow.
Remember in the old days, a record was 2 to 3 minutes. You never had a recording more than 3 minutes. Now, of course, this is many years ago. Then we had, of course, MacArthur Park from Richard Harris, and we had Hey Jude by the Beatles. And suddenly you had the 7-minute bathroom records that disc jockeys would play that, take a quick trip to the water closet, and return in time for the conclusion of the record. But otherwise, it was 2 or 3 minutes. That's where I say 2 to 3 minutes. Go ahead.
No, now I'm thinking about records.
But anyway, I never had, I this was years ago, and I haven't had a single problem since with anything like that. Because I was decent to the kid, right? Yeah. He was just searching for some change to buy a hot dog or something down at the 7-Eleven because, you know, he was underfed and not cared for. And so, you know, I think it takes a certain kind of person to be able to look beyond just the fact of what the surface seems to be the case. You know, if somebody's pointing a gun at you or threatening you or being ignorant, well, that's different, right? But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know where we're going here, yeah. and how it relates to the question you were asking.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally appreciate where you're coming from. Well, one of the things too, I noticed, it's weird. I've always tried to do stuff for charity because it makes me feel good mainly, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's various charities that I like to support and, I get my family involved and things like that. I've noticed, what was interesting with the fundraising part of this was the people who gave so much that just shocked me, you know, just like gave hundreds of dollars and donated, you know, on behalf because I asked them to. And then the people who I know are quite well off who gave nothing, you know, a couple of years ago, I made a New Year's resolution that I've actually stuck to year after year is that every time a charity asks me, I will give something. Now, not necessarily hundreds of dollars, but, you know, at the grocery store, we're collecting for Boston Children's Hospital. Sure. You know, you donate. You just do it every time. And it makes me feel good because I notice once in a while I don't have any money on me and I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, do I go back? Like, do I have to go back and donate something? But it just kind of made me feel good to give something every time. Maybe it's 10 bucks. Maybe it's 5 bucks, whatever. But just something to sort of help a cause that I think is at all worthwhile. And it's how I've lived my life and it's made me feel good. And so I keep doing it.
And probably the world needs more people like you. I mean, there are rich people who are, I mean, look at Bill Gates. I mean, a lot of people think he's the devil incarnate, but the guy donates like hundreds of millions of dollars to charitable causes that for the most part, I think are really good. I don't think there's some evil plot, you know? But then other people are just like, you know, maybe they donate in other ways. Maybe they employ, you know, thousands of people and spend their money in different ways. So, you know, just because people don't donate to charity doesn't make them bad people.
But well, let's put it this way, Randall. We know that Jeff Bezos, the guy from Amazon, is worth $182 billion as of last count. If he would simply refund half of that to his employees, their salaries would probably double. And that would be a good charitable act.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's sure. I mean, we could, you know, there's obviously this disproportionate distance between the, you know, the poor and the unbelievably rich. But, you know, being unbelievably rich doesn't necessarily mean that you're necessarily a bad person either. But it definitely, for a person with the kind of conscience who looks at the world and goes, you know, I think that the world could be a better place and I'm capable of making it a better place and they choose not to, it becomes difficult. It's difficult for me and I live on the poverty line. I still want to try to help in certain ways. I buy lottery tickets. I know the money goes to a lot of different charities and out to the community. And I think, well, okay, that's one way. I know it's self-serving, but I think, you know, if I won, I'd definitely do something to help people.
Let us help people with these announcements. Jeff, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, Randall and I have an arrangement with regard to lottery tickets. I don't know what they call the one in Canada. Mine is called Powerball. We also have Mega Millions. But I stick with the Powerball, figuring here, I'm doing something by buying a couple of tickets every twice a week. So I'm spending $4 twice a week for that. The point being, however, is that if I win, and I won $4 the other day, so I got back one of my entries. If I win something real like $200 million, you know, I have all sorts of options then to pay people and have enough for my old age. But since this is my old age, it's not going to help much. I was thinking the other day, well, $200 million minus taxes is what, $130 or something like that? What would I do with $130 for as long as I have left? It's almost preposterous.
I'll help you figure it out, Gene.
Well, we understand that, but other than you helping me figure it out, and other than pumping a bunch of cash into my son's hands, and he doesn't care about money, really. I mean, you know, I mean, if you handed him, you know, $50 million, he wouldn't say no. But he doesn't live for the money. He lives to have a good life. Well, but then why are we even talking about this?
I think we could set up a Paracast archive, you know, a foundation of some kind for the paranormal that can contribute to some genuine researchers out there. You know, some people with money have done that. What would you do, Jeff, if you, you know, really made it big somehow?
No, made it big. No, I've bought those Powerball tickets too, guys. Like, you know, and you start thinking about with my New England Legends podcast. We've been trying to document the goal. We're documenting every legend in New England, and we've done 187 weeks in a row, 187 stories. And I love the idea that we live in this time when so much of our country, Canada too, I've been there plenty, you know, is looking so homogenized. You know, it's just the box stores and the fast food restaurants, and they're all the same. But these legends, whether they're, you know, UFO landing sites or Bigfoot sightings or haunted places or whatever, these stories make our communities unique. And so I love this idea of whether it's like some kind of cool app where you could, you know, you can get like virtual stories and stuff wherever you are. You can say like, okay, what's near me? And you can find it and you can, you know, get those stories and just this like catalog. Because the thing about legend and lore is that it's always changing and evolving. And what I view my job in part is to sort of like take a snapshot of it today, take a picture, because it's going to change tomorrow. I know it. It's going to change as someone else gets the story and adds to it or whatever, or has a different experience in a location that then becomes part of the new narrative and so on. And it's this sort of like collective property of communities. And I love the idea of really trying to get it all on one page if we could and get armies of people sort of reporting it in and just growing something big like crowdsource, you know, because that's what legend and lore is. It's people sharing a story with another person as something that they went through that's profound, and then it sort of kind of grows from there. So I love that. And then you start thinking about some of your friends like, oh, I'd hire him for like, quit your job. You're going to be the full-time web person, and you quit your job, and then you're going to be videographer and photographer, and we'll just have a really cool office with video games and stuff and the coffee shop and a sushi chef.
Would we get our own secretary?
No. We'd just like have this like really cool building and then go do the things we love to do and not have to worry about putting a roof over our heads. You know, like that's the dream.
You should get in touch with Christopher O'Brien, because actually that's something he was talking about doing as well after he left the show, and so that he could focus more on his San Luis Valley camera project. And he's got UFODAP going now. And he talked exactly about that, having an app. Putting one together where as people travel around, they could visit these places and then share any stories they might have of their own.
I love this. So one of the other things.
Okay. Inspiration.
Okay.
Buzz. Okay. Apple has been adding new features to Apple Maps. It started as really, really a poor cousin to Google Maps because Google has so many years ahead of it. It's been adding more features. It's spent billions of dollars recalibrating the map feature around the world from the ground up, not just licensing it from other companies. They recently added COVID-19 vaccination sites to Apple Maps. What about paranormal sites, haunted houses? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have something like that integrate, which you can, with Apple Maps?
Yeah, of course it would. I mean, there's people that have done that with Google Maps, you know, like on my thing, on my New England Legends thing. We have a map on our site where I can put pins in the Google Map based on the legends. Now, there's also a sense of responsibility. The stories we cover are in general at public places, so like a haunted cemetery, a bridge with a weird story attached to it, a state forest or whatever, places that you can go. When you start putting people's privately owned haunted homes, you could also sort of open up this ball of wax problem that didn't exist before. So suddenly everybody has access to this app, and people now have a line of cars in front of their house because it's haunted or alleged haunted. There's a downside too. So someone's got to be judicious in there somewhere. And I don't know who we hire to be the editor to say, like, all right, this is safe to put in there and this is going to create a problem. But
well, there is, of course, like if you know you live in a house that has had these problems, there probably could be an opt-out feature saying, yeah, I don't want my house listed there. And those who don't care and happy to have a tourist attraction, happy to charge $10 per person, whatever, that's one thing. But I think if you do that, I agree with you. The other thing is, here's to have locations of UFO sightings. Where have people seen UFOs? We have the capability of mapping that in a way that anybody can have access. And of course, as you say, Google Maps, that's available for Apple gear too. So certainly you could use Google Maps as a central point. This way, 98% of all smartphones, iPhones or Android phones, will have Google Maps somewhere, and they can access this, or somebody can develop an app that links to it. But the same thing true with UFO sightings, portal areas, anything. Not just the haunted houses, because, as you say, there may be a privacy issue.
Sure.
We've developed some technology here. Let's develop this further, license it, and cash in, okay? All right.
That sounds good.
No, it doesn't, because we can't do it ourselves.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you either need the capital to hire the people that are smarter than us to program this kind of thing, and then get the word out that it exists, because it's only as good as how many people have heard of it. You know, like, you need a lot of people contributing to it to make it interesting. You know, for data to get interesting, you need a lot of data points. You know, one or two is not a trend. It's just, you know, just a blip. So yeah, that's the challenge, is like, how do we get this subject that we care about and get people talking about it and contributing to it? And as you guys have seen, no doubt, everybody thinks they're the smartest person in the room when it comes to the paranormal. So who's in charge? Right?
Yeah.
Well, it has to be the same thing as UFO clubs. You know, my UFO club is better than your UFO club. My paranormal club is better than yours. But most ghost hunters tend to be within a specific locality.
Sure.
I would assume. So you don't have as many rival ghost clubs, where we'll take New England, maybe we'll take Boston, maybe we'll take Cambridge, and you'll take Jersey City or Edgewater, New Jersey, or Springfield, Vermont, or something. I don't know where I'm coming up with this. Gene,
it's
Jeff,
it's like West
and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. China has announced sanctions against two members of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom in retaliation for American sanctions levied because of China's human rights violations against ethnic religious minorities. Gail Manchin, the chair of the USCIRF, and Vice Chair Tony Perkins have been banned from entering mainland China, Hong Kong, or Macau. The Chinese Foreign Ministry also announced sanctions against a Canadian member of parliament for similar criticisms of the Chinese regime. The USCIRF has been one of the leading voices in a global effort demanding an end to China's abuses against the Uyghur people in the traditionally Muslim region of Xinjiang. And the Department of Justice says that it has charged nearly 500 people with COVID-related fraud. In a statement, the department said that over 140 defendants are facing charges for unemployment insurance fraud, and another 120 have been charged with defrauding the Paycheck Protection Program, intended to help keep small businesses afloat during the pandemic. This is USA Radio News. Former President Donald Trump has some harsh criticism for the current administration over President Biden's handling of illegal immigration. In an interview with Fox News on Saturday, Trump said that he'll likely visit the southern border in the next few weeks because many in the Border Patrol have invited him down. He also criticized President Biden for ending the Remain in Mexico policy that he established with Mexico and ending construction of the border wall when it was so close to completion.
The wall is just a few weeks away from being completed. He didn't want to complete it. It took 2.5 years to start because the Congress, the Democrats in Congress, Pelosi and everybody, sued us 11 different times. So after we won all the lawsuits we started, they should finish the wall, number one, and they should have the stay-in policy reinserted, because if you don't have that, this is going to be a disaster.
This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So we're coming up with a new business here to map paranormal sites so people can find them. I hear silence. Nobody cares.
Well, no. I mean, it's funny. You said, like, you know, the paranormal groups. I thought it was almost like West Side Story. I had this whole idea for, like, this paranormal musical, right, which I would just rip off West Side Story and put into rival ghost hunting groups arguing over whose turf is getting investigated. Years ago, I remember talking to someone at the Ryan Center, which used to be part of Duke University. They were saying, you know, there's academic researchers that are looking into ESP and real parapsychology and stuff like that. And I said, you know, there's this literal army of paranormal investigators out there. And is there some sort of data that they could collect uniformly, if possible, and contribute to something? The problem is that even academia couldn't really agree on what the data points would be collected and how you could collect it so it's the same. So, for example, if we all use the same thermometer and you could take the temperature of a room, you could say, okay, I trust you that it's this temperature, but that's just one example. And so we had these discussions years ago, and it just never got off the ground because who's in charge of it? And who do you think you are to be the person in charge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There is no board. I thought maybe I could put one together with UFOs years ago because, you know, that's what it was really needed, and it could be totally free. We've got the internet, and who wouldn't love this idea, right? And, well, I got about 2,200 members in 22 countries, but you know, nobody really wanted to do the work.
So, well, right.
It's a great idea, but, you know, I think I'd nominate yourself.
No,
Jerome Clark.
I don't want to do it.
Jerome Clark, Paul Kingsbury, if you know who he is, Brian Bonner, You probably know who he is. I think those four should be on the board for sure.
Yeah, no, I get it and appreciate it. But it's funny, too. Like, the longer I've been in this, the more I've sort of morphed. You know, and I mean, I started in earnest in 1997 when I wrote my first newspaper article about paranormal. It was a feature for Halloween that turned into this whole crazy career, you know, a website and then books and then so on. Since I've been doing this, I find myself more drawn to the story and the history as opposed to like the paranormal research, which is awesome. I love that people are out there with, you know, the gear and all that other stuff and trying to contribute to something. But at the same time, my interests sort of lie in different places. Sometimes the hardcore paranormal gets mad at me when I use the word legend or story. However, I don't mean to imply at all that it's not true or that it's not based on something that actually happened, maybe even something otherworldly or you know, ethereal or whatever. But at the same time, whatever that event is, a story takes over from there, and the story's going to change, and it's going to draw certain people in, and it's going to push other people away. And that's the part that's just the most interesting to me. I think I'm just an armchair sociologist, psychologist, and my calling is just more related to that part of it.
Well, that makes perfect sense, though, because when you really do look at it objectively, the largest portion of the paranormal, ufology included in that, is cultural. I mentioned Professor Paul Kingsbury, and that's what he does. He's a professor, and he looks at the paranormal from a geographical perspective and a cultural perspective and tries to put together patterns, and that makes perfect sense. We're able to look at it then in a very objective way, and we're able to bring it into the realm of academia without it being seen as woo. It's like these are real beliefs by real people on the world, and if we look at it in a cultural way, we could put it into the humanities instead of the physics department.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And the other thing, too, that's happening is because of the popularity of, like, so many great podcasts and television shows and movies and stuff like that, the fringe has moved very much into the mainstream, into the popular culture, which is an opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of downside to it, of course, but there's upside, too, in that it's not so weird to talk about. And that's the thing, right? That's the discussion is I'm a fan of. I'm of promoting the discussion of the topic. So yeah, so how do we talk about something spiritual without getting in a fist fight? Because my religion is different than your religion. You know, how do we talk about life after death without it turning into this thing about I'm right and you're wrong about something, or UFOs and what's the government hiding and what other conspiracies are going on? It's people get so drawn into some of these rabbit holes sometimes, especially in the last couple of years. You know, like we've gotten pretty.
That's
dug,
a good question.
How, pretty well, dug in.
I've got some ideas, but let's hear yours. How do we do that? What steps should we take? What can we do?
The funny thing is, for all of human history, right up until just a few decades ago, like 30 years, maybe 40 on the high end, like we've never been exposed to so much data and information ever. Go back to like the 1800s. You maybe had a newspaper, maybe, right? Other than that, the news you got was from the people in your community. Hey, did you hear so-and-so's cow died? Right? That's the big news. And now we are just bombarded with every possible argument, and from our phones to our computers to our televisions to everything. As a species, we don't know how to process all that information. And so,
Merle, you raise an interesting point there. I was thinking about this watching an older sci-fi show, TV show the other day, Babylon 5.
Sure.
Babylon 5 was in the early to mid 1990s. And we have to consider that, the sense of it. So there are these scenes there where you have the space station. It's a little bit like Deep Space Nine. You have the space station where representatives from five different galactic civilizations meet. And they get involved in all sorts of political byplay and stuff like that. Okay, so there are always these scenes, and I've seen several of them from the first year of the show, where the security guy, Garibaldi, played by the late Jerry Doyle, I think. He was a talk show host also. Sitting there having his coffee, and he's reading the daily newspaper about mostly Earth-based stuff, and you think, this is the 23rd century. This is our picture of the 23rd century presented in the mid-1990s. And they're reading a newspaper. And you think, we're already in the 21st century, and the newspaper is mostly passé. We haven't gone another 200 years. We are so inundated with information, we can't keep up with it. And what often happens is that people therefore focus on stuff that simply amplifies their own view. They live in a bubble. There's right. too much out there. There's too much out there to embrace other points of view. I mean, you could literally show somebody evidence that C is really C, not Q, but they'll still believe it's Q. And I'm not talking about the creature, this race of superpowered people in Star Trek Next Generation. I mean, that's how it is. And you think of how simple it was on Babylon 5, where the security chief could sit there, have his morning coffee before getting on with whatever he has to do, breaking up disputes among alien races, a metaphor, of course, for immigration and everything in right now in the 21st century, but still, he's reading the daily newspaper.
Oh, okay? Yeah, B5 is awesome. It's an excellent series. Garibaldi's character is very interesting.
Oh, yeah, complex. And you have people there who you've seen on other shows who come over.
Oh, yeah.
Like the character Bester, who's a psychop, and guess who the actor who plays him is, the guy who played the original Chekhov on Star Trek.
Absolutely.
So another episode there of Babylon 5 where David McCallum, who's now, of course, he's a guy in his 80s now, and he appears on NCIS, but we remember him from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Here, he plays somebody who, by the way, at the end of the episode, he's arrested as a criminal. Didn't make it past the one episode, but they deliberately get these people in these shows. They did that with Stargate SG-1, where you saw people from Star Trek who come on the show and do something like Robert Picardo played a major role in the last half of the series and Stargate Atlantis. He was the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about this. Jeff, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet.
I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I think part of it is bringing up the issue of the fact that we are so immersed in a sea of information, a lot of it being patently, provably false, that we really even don't know where to go with any of it. I mean, even people, as you would agree, Jeff, who are ghost hunters, kind of live in a narrow reality of what a ghost is supposed to be. In the UFO field, aside from shows like the Paracast, where we take you beyond the basics, okay, ET is here, and let's admit it. It may be a lot more complicated than that. Bigfoot, anything, we live in our bubbles. So how does one get out of that? Do you think about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I did get out of it on Kilimanjaro.
Well, that would be a rather extreme measure, I would think, but I understand the point.
No, but at the same time, like, you don't have to go to Kilimanjaro. I mean, you could camp by a lake for a week. You could, you know, like, do whatever. Whatever it is that resets you. The biggest benefit I got was getting unplugged, was stepping away. And I'll tell you, I never sleep with a phone in my room, ever. I shut it off, and it stays downstairs. That's a rule of our house. Never at the table when we're eating a meal, no phones allowed. And so one of the things I really try to do, and it's hard when you're self-employed and you're working all hours of the day and night, is to make sure I shut off my computer, I shut off my phone, I just disconnect, especially before bed, at least an hour, you know, like have this time of quiet, no TV, nothing, you know, to just sort of like reset myself.
I'm thoroughly impressed. I think that is so important, to be absent of screen time. Screen-free time every day, you know, no phones at the dinner table. I have my ringers off here all the time, or at least rarely do I put them on. But anyways, please continue. I think that's something more people should do.
Like when I travel and I'm staying in a hotel, I do have my phone on and right by my head on the nightstand should I have an emergency at home, right? So my family would call. And I don't sleep well. Because that damn thing is right there, and it's on, and it buzzes a news alert or something, and what was that? You know, just enough to bring you out of sleep. And I still hike. I hike, you know, different hills around here, just day hikes. It's very resetting to kind of get out there, just be in nature for a little bit. Just walk among the trees. Walk in a park. Walk by a pond, a lake, anything. Anything that gets you disconnected and lets you calm down and sort of reset. 15 minutes, a half hour makes a big difference if you can do it. I recognize we all live in lives where that's not always possible. Some days are just that busy. But if you make time for it, it's part of that self-care that's so important. Years ago, when I weighed 50 pounds more than I do now, and I decided to become a runner just to sort of feel better. That changed my life quite a bit. And now, no matter how hectic my days are, I make sure I make it time, you know, at least 45 minutes for running at least 3 days a week. It's good for my heart. It's good for my body. I sleep better. Those kind of things that get me away from information and just doing what a human does, you know, moving my body, clearing my mind.
We go halfway here in the Steinberg household because it's just me and Barbara. Our son's off in Madrid. And we have the dog. We put the dog away in another room. We sit down and we have dinner in front of the TV set because that's the form of entertainment. Catch up on the show because I don't get to watch TV quite as much as I do. And I take my iPhone, I stick it on the night table, but I put my reading glasses down there. And unless there's something really important, I don't mean like a ping, like a ring that somebody's trying to reach me and it's not a spam call, I will ignore it. So it's halfway. She'll ignore her iPad. It's halfway. Maybe it's not what you would do. I could not turn off my phone. Once having gotten used to the iPhone back in 2008, I couldn't get away from it. So that's something that maybe someday I will. But up until then, I had my laptop computer, my MacBook Pro, whatever. And before going to bed at night, I take it to bed with me. I go through, check my email, catch up on everything, stick it away back into my office area and ignore it. The reason I got the iPhone is I didn't have to play with the MacBook Pro anymore. I had this tiny little device where I could consult it for email. But I still try to force myself away from it for the evening. I don't really look at it from the time I go to bed to the time I get up in the morning. Nobody believes me.
We got to do what we got to do, right?
I don't even own a cell phone. And that for that reason, I know if I got one, that would be it. It would be end up glued to the side of my head. You know, I'd end up with, you know, I guess these days some kind of earbuds or whatever. But getting back to what we were talking about before the break and went on this complete tangent, we were talking about, well, you know, what can people do to unify the field when there are so many different views and viewpoints? You started to talk about there's so much data that people have to sift through. Okay, so what is your solution? How do we deal with that?
Yeah, how do we get people comfortable and confident in contributing to something that they know that they're a part of this thing, and it's okay that they're not in charge of it? And so, again, back then, this was over 10 years ago, I was looking to like the Ryan Center, like, what are the data points? Can we even agree on that? Just give us a few. When you're out there doing your investigation, do whatever it is you do. We're not going to tell you how to do it. But while you're there, collect these five pieces of information in this specific way and contribute it to this sort of centralized repository. Can we get these things? And I think a lot of people would be willing to do that, to be part of something. The problem is we couldn't figure out what those data points were. After that, there's the time and expense of developing the repository and then making sure people are using it right. I still think it's a good idea. It's a solid idea. So who do you get to agree on those points? Who do you get to build it? How do you get the word out that, hey, we're doing this? Without looking like you're trying to be king of the paranormal or queen of the paranormal. That's the challenge.
QFOS in the ufology sector has done a pretty good job of that for a number of years. They came up with the UFO experience, and they defined what a sighting was and the various levels of sightings and types of sightings. They're all the way through to CE5. And then Greer came along and hijacked that, and everybody else came along and decided to say, well, we're going to think about it this way. And now when you say QFOS to some UFO, they go, what? Who are they? They've got a major database of all kinds of sightings that have been cataloged exactly that way. But if nobody's going to use it and everybody wants to think, well, I'm just going to do it my way because, well, that's what works for me, then what do we end up with in terms of a unified field?
Well, the UFO field has been trying to unify itself since the 1950s. When a group of former teen ufology people formed the Congress of Scientific Ufology and the National UFO Conference, it was designed to serve as a counterpoint to events that would cover just the contactees. They'd have their wild and woolly meetings about meeting blonde Venusians, And we would try to talk about the field in a scientific way. What we thought was scientific, none of us were scientists at all. That's where it went. It never went anywhere. Hey, I'd like to maybe pick up on this for after the PowerCast, where you're going to continue with us, Jeff Belanger. But right now, our listeners want to know. They're waiting with bated breath. Tell them where they can find more of what you have to offer. I understand you've got autographed books, so why don't you tell us about that quickly?
Yeah, so The Call of Kilimanjaro is my first memoir, and it's available wherever books are sold. But in these strange times, we can't do book signings. If anyone wants to email me at Killy, K-I-L-I, at jeffbelanger.com, J-E-F-F-B-E-L-A-N-G-E-R.com, I'll send you the first chapter as a PDF, and then there's a link where I actually went to the publisher's warehouse and autographed 500 copies. If people want a signed copy, you can get it directly from the publisher. That email, I'll reply with a promo code, and appreciate any support. And thank you guys for letting me talk about this very personal story for me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share it, because it meant a lot to me.
Well, it meant a lot to us to have you on the show and talking about it, really. We also can be found on Twitter. If you are into Twitter, if you're into Facebook, you can find us there. We don't do TikTok and all the other stuff. We also offer branded merchandise, speaking of offering things. If you go to thepowercast.shop, thepowercast.shop, we have four different logos. Choose the one you want, then choose the T-shirt, whatever, all sizes available. You'll find something likely that fits you. We also have the PowerCast Plus, where we offer the After the PowerCast podcast, a special show with added content, like Jeff's going to continue with us on that episode. Also, we offer this show free of the network ads with enhanced audio, all for prices beginning at $1.50 a week. How about that? $4 a month. Special prices. For more information, go to thepowercast.plus. Remember also, if you order 5 years or a lifetime, we give you a free coupon code for The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary, 3 hours of extra material while supplies last. Thepowercast.plus. Jeff Belanger, glad to have you come on and share your experiences on The Powercast.
Thank you.
PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product
I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.